Thank you for listening to the Redeemer Church podcast as we walk through a four-week series on Advent. The season of Advent invites us to look forward to the significance of the first coming of Jesus at Christmas and look ahead to his second coming. We are reminded that our hope is found in Christ alone, who provides joy, peace, and love for those who believe in him. Thanks for listening.
Amen. 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 What a fantastic way to end the year. I have been looking forward to this for a while now. My name is Jason Hatch. I'm the lead and the teaching pastor here at Redeemer, which means I have the great honor, great privilege to open up God's Word and to preach week in and week out. And what a great year it's been to open up and be reminded of all the things and the gifts that we have been given in Christ. Before I jump into the last sermon of the year for us for this Advent season, got a few quick things for you. First off, got a lot of new people that are here. We're so glad that you're here to join with us. If this is your first time and you're coming here in person, welcome. We're super honored that you are here, and we would love to connect with you. Or if you're joining with us online for the first time, super excited that you're here. Do us a favor online and go to the chat box in the bottom and let us know where you are watching from. We would love to hear that as well. But we would love to connect with you whether you're here or whether you're online and you're new. So you can text connect to the number here on the screen, and we will send you a connect card that way. Or if you're here in person on your way out, there's a welcome tent. Feel free to stop by the welcome tent there. Let them know that you are new, and we'll get you connected there and answer any questions that you might have. Real quick, no services this upcoming Sunday. This is not a COVID thing. This is an annual thing for us. Every year we have so many people that they serve very sacrificially, very wholeheartedly, week in, week out, 51 years a week, both volunteer and staff. And so we love to be able to give them a gift after Christmas of a day off to be able to spend some time with families. So you're welcome to come here on Sunday, but nobody will be here and the doors will be locked. So hope you enjoy some time off as well. And last but not least, if you're sitting there wondering, how on earth can I help serve and bless somebody today? Have I got a deal for you? We would love to have some help tearing down after the service today. So if you had a few minutes to pick up chairs, or if you're picking up your children across the street, then I'll invite you to stay a few minutes there and help us tear down. That would be very helpful to us and a big gift to the staff. Well, it is Christmas, and at Christmas, as Christians, what we are celebrating is oftentimes what we call Advent. The word Advent means coming, that when we celebrate Jesus coming into the world, there were some things that he brought with him. And so for centuries, the Christian church and Christian people, followers of Jesus, have celebrated that not just Jesus came into the world, but with Jesus, some important gifts. There were some people that showed up to Jesus in Bethlehem, and they brought gifts to him, but Jesus himself, when he showed up on the scene, he brought his own gifts. He brought gifts of hope like the world had never seen. Jesus gave hope to humanity, even in the face of death, that had never been fully understood. And so we celebrate the advent of hope when we celebrate the coming of Jesus. We also celebrate the advent of peace, that Jesus came and he literally offered peace that surpasses understanding, that lasts beyond the grave into eternity. And so we celebrate and we remember and we appreciate and worship Jesus, because when he came, it was also the coming of peace. We looked at this just a few days ago on Sunday, that when Jesus came, he brought with him joy, and we sing joy to the world because the advent of Jesus was the advent of real, true, everlasting joy. And so we get to have some joy that surpasses difficult circumstances, that is deeper than a situation that you may even find yourself in. And today we get to celebrate that when Jesus came, the coming of Jesus represents a very strong way that love has come into the world. So that's the fourth really topic or focus that we look at for Advent. And so today, to end the year of 2020, we are going to look at and celebrate, what does it mean at Christmas that we're celebrating that Jesus came into the world as a baby, and with it, with his entrance into humanity, he brought love. And love is a tricky word in English. In English, love is a very big umbrella word that you can use the same word love and refer to some very different things. How many of you love your spouse? If you have a spouse in the room, this would be a fantastic time to raise your hand. Rough time for them to find that out. How many of you love your parents? How many of you love pizza? How many of you love donuts? How many of you love the Dallas Cowboys still? Okay, that is a deep, deep level of love. Like this, the same word for love in English would be something that you use to describe if you love God, if you love Christ, if you love the church, if you love your neighbor, if you love dessert, if you love sparkles and Christmas time and fishing and shopping and whatever it might be. Like it's a big umbrella term, and in the language of the Bible, it's not so. There's a lot more precise terms that the Bible uses. So there's a special term if you're talking about brotherly love, you would use this term. If you were talking about romantic love, or if you're talking about dessert or food or whatever, I don't even know if the Bible has a category for the type of person that still loves the Cowboys, but miraculous might be the word for it. And then it has a special word that's reserved, that this is like the most weighty of all the words to describe love, that if you use this word begins and ends with the character and the actions of God. That the word agape is a selfless, sacrificial, deep, unbelievable type of love, that when we talk about love, especially at Christmas time, when we're talking about the advent or the coming of love, it's not the same type of love that we would use to talk about things that are fleeting or even emotions that might come and go. So for the rest of the time that we have this evening, we are going to be talking about what does it mean that agape, that a deep, an unearned, we didn't earn it, an unconditional, there's no conditions to it, and a sacrificial love has invaded earth and has invaded the human race. And this love, this agape love, it's always accompanied by grace and demonstrated by sacrifice. And the greatest example that I can unpack is the love that a parent has for a child. That we know if you're a parent in the room and you have a kid in the room or maybe not in the room, that the love that you have for them is really, to a certain extent, an agape type of love. It is an unearned love. Your kid did not deserve or earn the love that you gave them. You just decided that you were going to put your love upon them, whether they earned it or not. It's an unearned love that a parent has for a child. It is unconditional. So unearned, they didn't earn it in the first place. Unconditional, they cannot lose it. They can do some things to make you upset with them, right? They can do some things that might make you lose your patience. Some of you are like, now you're speaking my language. That's what's going on right now. But they cannot do anything to be removed from that love. And it's sacrificial. Don't you know, if you're a parent, you would do absolutely anything for your children. Even if it came to the point of sacrificing the most important thing you have, your own life, you would do that for your child because it's an agape, deep type of love. That's the illustration that expresses a very small way that God is and has love. And so this agape love that we're going to unpack in 1 John chapter 4. In fact, if you have a Bible, you brought it with you. If you have a device, I want to invite you to go there. 1 John chapter 4. If you don't, the words will be here on the screen in front of you. This idea or this reality about an agape, an unconditional, unearned, sacrificial love is what's behind Christmas. It's the reason billions of people on the planet today will, in some form or fashion, will bow their knees and bend their hearts to worship and to have a special time to focus on Jesus. Everything behind this Christmas season and this Advent season is this word agape. That's what caused it all. That's the motivation behind Jesus Christ coming into the world. How many of you know John 3:16? It's probably the most famous verse in all the Bible. It says, "For God so what? Loved," not the same word as that you love cake, right, or that you love the Cowboys. "For God so loved," agape, "the world that He gave His only Son." The reason that we're celebrating Jesus is because God is a God that is defined by love. He is love. He gives love. He acts out of love. And I thought there would be no one better to read from than the Apostle John. The Apostle John is the one that wrote what we're about to read here in 1 John chapter 4. So Jesus had 12 disciples. Three of them were Peter, James, and John. That had they were the close, tight-knit group that Jesus had. They had more access to Him. They witnessed more things from Him. They had more relationship even than the other nine. And of those three disciples, there was one, John, who we called the disciple who Jesus loved. Agape, same word. Potentially the person on the planet that knows more about agape love than anyone else that has ever existed because they were best friends with Jesus. If you were to ask Jesus, Jesus, who's your best friend on the planet? He would say John. John was the disciple who Jesus loved. Not only that, the Apostle John that's about to write these words that we're looking at this evening, he was the only disciple that was there at the cross that witnessed the crucifixion. And if you remember that Jesus said that greater love, agape, has no one than this, then he laid down his life for his friends, that Jesus says that true love is always marked by sacrifice. And the greater love equals greater sacrifice. How many of you have bought some Christmas presents for someone this year? This is probably what happened. There may be some people in your life that are maybe they're that weird cousin, or maybe there's somebody at work and you want to get them something, but you know they're not in your inner circle. So you might get them something, but the closer somebody gets to you relationally and the more love you have for them, the cost goes up. The willingness to sacrifice goes up. It should, right? Your spouse should get the most expensive present of all. Because if when you have a great amount of love, you're willing to sacrifice a lot. And Jesus says, no one has greater love than this, than they be willing to lay down their life. And the Apostle John, I'm convinced that the only disciple that witnessed Jesus naked, crucified on a cross, as he was witnessing that, those words that Jesus spoke no doubt had to be ringing in his mind, and they changed him forever. Because you can't witness something like a man that said, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And then purposefully, on purpose, as a choice, Jesus goes to the cross. John witnesses Jesus dying in his place for his sins. He was marked in a deep, deep way by Jesus' love for him. And this is the one who wrote these words in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He said, beloved, he's talking to Christians. This is written to a group of churches where they would take this letter from John and circulate it among these churches. And so he's writing to people that knew they had been the recipients of agape, of deep gospel love. He says, beloved, since you've already been loved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I want to give you four things from the disciple whom Jesus loved on this Advent season for us to think about and to ponder about the love of God in Christ. I've got four things that I want to give you. Number one, that. Just simply that he gave his Son demonstrates that God loves the world. That's the John 3:16. For God so loved the world that. So this should be enough to convince any human being on the planet, not only that God loves people, but that God loves you. That he gave his Son is enough to demonstrate God's love, God's agape towards us, but that's not where it ends. That's not all. When he gave his Son is incredibly important. When a father or a mother decides to love their children is very important, because timing is everything, right? Timing is everything, especially when it has to do with love and understanding the gospel and how the gospel works. If I decided that I was going to agape and to love my children when they finally contributed to the bottom line of the household, or when they could change their own diaper, which would be strange, or when they smiled, or when they responded, or when they obeyed, if I tethered my love and I withheld it until they performed or did something, then my love would always be completely connected to their action, and the moment they stop doing that, then love goes out the door with it. Timing is incredibly important. When did I love my children? Before they were even born. Before they did anything, all they did, can I get an amen, is scream and cry and poop and sleep. That's it. They didn't contribute anything to the, they didn't go out and get a job, they didn't smile, they didn't say, thank you, that was a rough diaper, I know, thank you so much. They didn't contribute anything, but I love them. Timing, it's incredibly important, and this is what the timing for us is right there in verse 10. It's not that we loved him, but that he loved us, and this is how the Apostle Paul puts the timing of God's love for you. And if you're not a Christian, you need to hear this, you need to know this, you need to believe this. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love. God has decided to demonstrate or to show his agape, his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Timing matters. It's not just that Jesus came. It's when Jesus came and God decided to love you before you brought anything to the table, before you stopped any sins, before you started doing any good deeds. So because this type of deep agape love, it's unearned, it's unconditional. You can't earn it, therefore you can't lose it. It's sacrificial. That's the type of love that God has for us. You can't earn it, but you must accept it. You can't earn agape, but you have to accept it. There is a way in which God sent Jesus to die for the sins of the world, but that only applies by way of forgiveness to those who respond to Christ in repentance and faith. That's how you accept and receive and experience the love of God. There's a temptation for us to try to earn it and to think, well, if Jesus died for me, I need to really get my act together. I need to knock some certain things off, and I need to start doing some things, and that's not how God's love works. It is completely unmerited, unearned, unconditional. He has made the sacrifice for us. So it's not just that Jesus came, and it's not just when Jesus came, it's why he sent his son. Why did Jesus give his son? And this is an important one for us in the Bible Belt to really grasp. Because this time of year, a lot of people are celebrating Christmas. A lot of people, maybe they don't even love Jesus, are celebrating the first half of Christmas. They love the chubby little baby in the manger, and they love the idea of having some cocoa together and sharing some presents with the kids and bringing the family in from out of town and having a really good time, and then can go on unchanged by that reality of Christmas, because that's just the first part, that a baby was born. And so the question is, why? Why did God send his son into the world? Because we cannot fully respond to the message of Christmas and the baby in the manger until we understand why the baby was born. Verse 10, he says this. He says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son. Why? To be the propitiation for our sins. That is an awesome new Christmas word for you. That's a very big, deep, theological, churchy word, propitiation. That's the reason that Jesus was sent to earth. It really means two things. If there's a relationship between a person that's a sinner and a holy God, and there's sin that has caused some distress and dysfunction in the relationship, two things have to happen. The sinner needs to be forgiven, and God, the one who is sinned against, needs to receive some type of restitution. Because God needs to have the righteous demands of his character met, and at the same time, sinners need to be forgiven and set free. How in the world can both of those things happen? Jesus was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen, please, please do not miss the reason Jesus came. You can celebrate the baby in the manger, you can have some cocoa, you can enjoy some family time, but if you miss the point that Jesus came to die in our place for our sins so that we might be forgiven and the righteous demand of God's character might be satisfied as well, then you've missed the entire point of Christmas. That's the why. Why did Jesus come to die in the place of sinners so that he might set us free, forgive us of sins once and for all? So that he came explains the love that God has for us. When he came is important. Why Jesus gave his son is important. And the fourth thing I have for you this evening is, how then do we respond? If we're going to absorb all that is true about Christmas and about the Advent and the coming of love, how is that supposed to affect the way that we live our lives, and how is that supposed to work itself out? How are we supposed to respond? Look back at verse 7. This is where he started. He started by saying, beloved, and that's where it has to begin. In order to truly live out the agape love that was sent to us in Jesus, we have to first receive it. You have to, like, it's incredibly difficult to love somebody with an unearned, unconditional, sacrificial love until you're convinced you have been loved that way by God first. So that's where he starts. He says, beloved, now if we understand and know that we are beloved, that we don't have to earn anything, we can't lose anything, he's just lavished his love upon us. Beloved, now we've got some work to do. Let us love one another. Let us give an agape type of love to one another. What about the waiter at the restaurant tonight that just does a horrible job? Should you love them too? What about the person that comes to your house that has offended you and the family member that has hurt you? What about the person in your friend group that just consistently they take and they don't give anything? What about the people that disagree with you about politics? What about the people that disagree with us about masks and whether to wear them or not wear them and where to do that? What about those who have hurt you and who you carry some wounds? This is the command that you cannot obey until you believe that you have been beloved by God. But the command nonetheless is for us to love one another. The Apostle John, who wrote these words, he lived his life. He had 3.5 years in person with Jesus. He witnessed the crucifixion, spoke with Jesus after the resurrection. Eventually, he would be exiled to an island in the Mediterranean Sea because he wouldn't shut up about talking about Jesus and the resurrection. They would bring him back, and he would live out his days. He was the only disciple that was not martyred that would live into a really old age. He was in his 80s, and a lot of this is church history, what I'm going to close on. So this is after the Bible is already put together. These are the words of really church history and tradition that explain to us a little bit about what Paul's life looked like. So he lived in Ephesus, and he was an old man, 80 years old, couldn't walk anymore. And church history says that the leaders of the church would invite him up into the church in Ephesus, especially when they were doing communion. Because if John was in your church, you want him to talk, right? You want the one who walked with Jesus to share. So they would invite him up, and they would let him preach, and they would let him talk. And church history goes something like this, that when John the apostle would get up, everybody would get quiet. Oh my gosh, that's John. And the leaders of the church would help him up because he couldn't get up the stairs. He would grab the podium, and they said he would preach this. He would say, children, love one another. Love one another. Agape, like love, be sacrificial and give unmerited and unconditional love to one. And he would just keep going on until they're like, I think he's crazy. I think that's all he remembers about what. And so somebody asked him one time, they said, John, didn't you walk with Jesus? Don't you have any other teaching from Jesus that you would share us? Nobody had more access on earth to him than you. Don't you have something different than just love one another? And this was John's response. He said, if one day you understand that, then there is nothing else you need to learn. The point of Christmas, of God invading humanity as one of us, of the incarnation, when God himself put on flesh, put on a human body, and invaded the earth and split history in two. More books have been written about him, more paintings painted of him, more songs sung about him. He is the most famous individual that has ever lived, was single, homeless, young, did not ever travel more than 100 miles from his house, yet he has revolutionized and changed the world. The message that he preached was that God is a God of love. That God loves sinners, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And once we get that, the command that we have been given is to love one another. In fact, there were 10 very important commandments to the Jewish people and hundreds more beyond that. And they asked Jesus to boil them all down to what is the most important commandment? And Jesus said, the purpose of it all is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor. I want to close with reading some words from the Apostle Paul, because it's been a long year. 2020 has been quite a year full of ups and downs, I'm sure, for many of you in the room. And I don't want to close on really the command that we've been given to love one another, although that's important. I just want to close really giving us a chance to rest in the love of God. And so this Advent season, to be reminded when Jesus came, that he brought with him love, and that love is important for us to know and to believe and to trust. So these are the words that I want to be the last words from me to you in 2020. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says this, "Who shall separate us from the agape, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation," been a long year, a lot of you have walked through some serious tribulation, "or distress," some of you walked into this room feeling distressed, "or persecution," some of you are living your faith out in places that's very difficult and you've had some persecution this year, "or famine," "or nakedness," "or danger," "or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." But no, Paul says, no, "in all these things we are more than conquerors." How? "Through him who loved us." No, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. "For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We need you. We want to respond to you. What an incredible gift that we get to celebrate that at Christmas God gave his only son, made the most valuable sacrifice that could ever be made, that has ever been made, to demonstrate your love. So Father, I pray for each of us in the room that we would not fly past this season without reflecting on and personally accepting the love of God through Christ. God, may today mark the beginning of a new life for someone in this room. Father, we love you back. We're so grateful that it's not that we loved you, but that you loved us. And so we're so grateful that we get to grow up as kids, understanding how deep our Father has loved us. Help us to truly love one another. Father, I pray that the people in Midland, Texas would know that we're your disciples by the love that we have for one another. So we want to celebrate this season. We want to thank you, Jesus, for the hope that we have in Christ, for the peace that we have in Christ, for the joy that we have in Christ, and for the love that we have found in Christ. Jesus, thank you. And I want to pray these things for your glory, for our good. Through the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Redeemer Church podcast. If you would like more information about Redeemer or desire to support our ministry, please visit us at RedeemerMidland.org.